Hallelujah.
Let's appreciate God for the grace, for the strength.
Thank you, Lord Father, for grace. Thank you for strength, O Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you praise.
Hallelujah.
Not like you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Almighty God. The Lord says, Lord, are we those that fear him? Thank you, God, for not hiding the divine secret.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We magnify you
because
God said secret things belong unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, that are revealed are for us and our children.
Hallelujah.
And we raise to wait upon you. Let's appreciate the name of God.
Appreciate you, Lord.
Let's name for renewing our strength.
Hallelujah.
Let's thank God that every time you have grace to wait upon him. We have evidence to show because our strength is renewed. Our strength is renewed. Father, let's thank you for the grace to wait upon you. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Blessed
be your name. Honor be to your name. Adoration be to your name. For renewing our strength. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we adore you. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
All as we have gathered this day, Lord, we are looking unto you for renewal. We are looking unto you for empowerment. And we are looking unto you for divine encounter. Lord, as many as you have ordained, Lord, we pray that God needs their steps in order to join us. Father, remove every impediment, remove every obstacle on their way in the name of Jesus. Lord, humble ourselves to you and make sure there's any way or by any means we ask God that you forgive us and from all that cleanses from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Honor be to your name. Lord, as we commence we thank you, Lord, because you are already here. Because we are more our brethren will join. Bless your name. In Jesus' precious name, we are prayed.
Amen.
Let me welcome all brethren to the meeting with me. And I personally appreciate the privilege to send them to me, our pastor. Today, we are continuing just like it has happened in previous days. So, we are going to spend part of the time charging ourselves from God's word and part of the time also lifting up our voice unto God. It's always a privilege when we have the opportunity to gather like this. We know the theme that we are looking at under this program. where this is actually brought from. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And we see that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. So when we look at this thing, it's very, very broad thing. And there's no way we want to go into teaching that we can exhaust it. In fact, we dedicate like 3 months for this thing, I'm very sure, inexhaustive. But for the time we have, we'll be sharing a couple of things. What this thing means to us. As we know, the writer of this scripture, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, is Apostle Paul. And this was particularly written to the church in Philippi. And Apostle Paul was recounting his life and relationship with Christ. And he got to this point where our team is drawn, that everything that he has been doing, everything that has been written before verse 10, the simple reason is for this goal, that he may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So when we look at this, it is broadly three themes, that he may know him, he may know the power of his resurrection, he may know the fellowship of his suffering. So when we talk about knowing Christ, it is just not only about knowing his person, it's also knowing the power of his resurrection as well as the fellowship of his suffering. Fortunately, many people don't pay attention when it comes to especially the fellowship of his suffering. We get to that very quickly. There are about 4 points I want to share with us. The first point we need to understand about this thing is that to know him is to know the person of Christ. To know him is to know the person of Christ. First part of verse 8, Apostle Paul said something here. Even indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So that part was talking about the person of Christ. The person of Christ. And under this point, to know him is to know the person of Christ. There are two things I want to share with us. The first thing is that in order to know the person of Christ, we must know that Jesus is both Christ, that is the Savior, or Messiah, and Lord. Both Christ is Messiah and Lord. And how did I know this? When we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. I believe we all have access to the microphone. So, can someone help us to read Acts chapter 2, verse 36?
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Amen. Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir.
So, that was the declaration, and it was emphatic, that the Lord has elected, the God of heaven has elected Jesus, who was crucified, both Lord and Christ, that is, both Savior and Christ. When we hear and respond to the altar call, we go out and we acknowledge Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior. We are led to confess Him as our Lord and Savior. But in practice, in reality, what we can see in many Christians, unfortunately, is that Jesus is only their Savior. Jesus is only their Savior. Jesus is never their Lord. You know, when we talk about lordship, we know what it means. For example, in a law court, there is the judge elected and highly seated on a seat, highly elevated above others. And there are lawyers or jurors or barristers. And whatever the judge, whatever his decision is, whatever his judgment is, that is it. And everybody have to behave themselves. And that is why it is common to hear, as your lordship pleases. The question we need to reflect on, about the person of Jesus. If we claim we know his person, and we see him and accepted him as our Lord and Savior, whether he's indeed Lord in our life activity, whether he's indeed Lord over our lifestyle, over our life decision, everything. Maybe in some area we say, yes, you are the Lord, but when it comes to some area, we say, no, I am in charge. But what this scripture is telling us, that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. And that is why Jesus himself made an example by subjecting his own will to the will of the Father. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. So that means if Jesus is our Lord, if we want to know him as our Lord, as our Savior, his person, that means in every aspect of our life, he has to be Lord indeed. In our marriages, in our relationships, in our finances, in doing business, even in politics and in government, Jesus has to be Lord. So when you are in government, for example, and there are policies being made that they are anti-God, then you cannot be said to be Jesus is indeed your Lord. Because scripture says, when the righteous is in power, the people rejoice. Let's move on very quickly, because it, like I said, it's a very broad thing, and even each point will require, you know, sets of series of teaching or some hours of teaching. Jesus Christ, his personality also means that we see him as a man of suffering, and we should be ready to suffer for his name's sake. We should be ready to suffer for his name's sake. The same Apostle Paul in the same book of Philippians, this time, chapter 1, when we look at verse 29. This is what the apostle says. But to you, it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. No wonder in chapter 3, he will go on further to make that declaration that he wants to know him. He wants to know the power of his resurrection, and he wants to know the fellowship of his suffering. A half relationship, if we are neglecting this aspect, if we are only interested in his power of resurrection, but we are not interested in the fellowship of his suffering, it does not show to us that we are indeed interested in knowing the person of Christ. So to know him just to know that he's a man of suffering. Not that we said about him in Isaiah chapter 53, from the beginning unto the end, especially when you look at from verse 3 to 5. Like we say, he's a man of sorrow. And nobody wants to relate with him. The second point under the thing that I want to share with us is that to know him is also to understand the total package God for the redemption of man. We must come to the understanding of the knowledge of the package of God, the total package of God for the redemption of man. The Father sent the Son to save us. The Son sent the Spirit to comfort us. And Jesus himself said in the book of John chapter 16 verse 33, he says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome
the world.
Now the word shares in Greek means tasio. It means to have courage or comfort. So this one is saying, be of good comfort, for I have overcome the world. And that is why Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 3, he says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts. These are people that have revelation, and we need that revelation. He said, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies and the God of all comforts. Now look at verse 4. Who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That I may know him. It will have that complete of understanding of the total package of God for redemption. You are saved, but it doesn't mean that you will not have some time of trial. It doesn't mean that you will not have challenges. We have to have that understanding, and that's why Jesus made this declaration. Be of good cheer. It is the same comfort that the apostle of old received and they shared with those that they reached out to. So if a Christian is going through a challenge and feels that God is not any longer interested in him or her, then it is a very big disappointment. Because if you understand the total package of God for the redemption of man, you will also know that part of it is that there will be tribulation. But God says, be of good cheer. That is, be of good comfort. Be courageous. When God chose Joshua, one of the things God told him that Moses, my servant, is dead. He said, but you be courageous. Courageous. Because in order to move through life journey, to travel through life trial, we need courage. So to know Christ is to have this complete understanding. Number three. To know Christ, that is to know him according to our theme, is to be ready to deliberately unlearn, learn and relearn. To learn, unlearn and relearn. Why? Because we may be holding to some knowledge that are not excellent. That is why Apostle Paul said his own desire is to pursue excellency of the knowledge of Christ. So in order for you to achieve that or to attain that, then you want to be ready to learn, to unlearn, and to relearn. Some of us are holding to some doctrines, some traditions that undermine our potentials. Those do not help us to reach our potentials in God. And we get frustrated. And we think God is disappointing. No. It is because we have not made ourselves ready to pursue the excellency of his knowledge. Proverbs 9:10 says, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge is the holy is understanding. I'm talking about understanding. Psalm 49 verse 20 says, a man who is in honor and does not understand, it's like beast that perish. It's like beast that perish. Understanding is very key. That is why, you know, the word of God says, get understanding. In all I do, get understanding. Understanding of the knowledge of Christ is very key. And in order to do that, we must be ready to learn, relearn, and unlearn. Those things that you are holding to that do not allow you to reach your potential in Christ, you need to do away with them. And if you look at Apostle Paul, for example, in Philippians chapter 3, now look at the way he began. In verse 2, he said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else think he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning sin, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Why? Verse 8 tells us, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and counted them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. This was a person who was learning, who was unlearning, who was relearning. And that is the exact thing that we know we need to do. When Apostle Paul encountered Christ in the book of Galatians chapter 1, he told us about his experience. When you look from verse 11, but I make known to you, Galatians chapter 1 from verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions, can you see, of my fathers, for the traditions of my father. That is what many of us, or some of us, are holding to, that undermine us from reaching our potentials in Christ. verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He went to Arabia to go and wait on the Lord. It was after that, in verse 18, he said, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remain with him 15 days. So someone who wants to learn, want to learn in order to reach his potential in Christ, in order to know him who has called him into his faithful service and to attain the excellency of knowledge. The last one before we start is that to know him is to be ready to grow to maturity and get to a point of fighting spiritual battles. God is a man of war, and that's there to us. The story of the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, is very clear to us. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 17, God deliberately did not allow them to pass through the nation where they would be exposed to war and get frightened. For God prepared them in the wilderness as warriors. But it was disappointing that when the time came for them to go to the promised land, many of them, they gave themselves to fear, and they would not want to proceed, and God became angry with them. So, a person that wants to know Christ to be ready to go to maturity and get to the point of fighting spiritual battles. So, having said all these points, then we need to begin to pray. And we are going to pray, start the prayer from the last point that was made, that is being ready to go to maturity and get to the point of fighting spiritual battles. The book of Proverbs chapter 21 verse 31 says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. Against the day of battle. The time we are living now is very dangerous. This is not a time for anyone to slumber. This is a time for everyone to get serious. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. The word whole is deliberate. God is not the waster of his word. We are to put on the whole armor of God because we are not against flesh and blood. And let me tell us, it does not matter even if you don't want to fight. The enemy wants to fight. Either you fight and conquer, or you don't fight and get conquered. You will not be conquered in Jesus' name.
Amen.
When the church, the early church, was just being gentle, the Bible says in Acts chapter 12 that Herod stretched forth his hand to vex the church, that is, to provoke the church to fight. And he took James and killed him. And when he saw that the Jews were happy with it, and the church didn't do anything, he proceeded. He took Peter, put him in prison, intending to kill him thereafter. But then, thank God, the church woke up and started fighting. And we know that Peter was delivered. So let's pray. Let's start praying. Let's say the first prayer we say, Father, the Lord, help me to be adequately equipped.
Help me to be adequately
equipped. And prepared against the day of the battle. Help me to effectively use the believer's armor of words. Let's begin to pray that prayer. Father, Lord, help me to be adequately equipped. equipped and prepared against the battle, the day of the battle. Help me to effectively use the deliver armor of war. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, God, that you help me to be adequately equipped, to be adequately prepared, to be thoroughly equipped, to be thoroughly prepared against the day of the battle. The words was yet against the day of the battle. Lord, help me to be adequately equipped, adequately prepared, in the name of Jesus. Father, I am not fighting with physical horse. Lord, you have given me armors of war, armors of warfare. Help me to effectively use the believer armors of war. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, help me to effectively use the believer armor of war. In the name of Jesus. Guide my ways with the belt of truth. They put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the helmet of salvation. Help me, Lord, to be thoroughly equipped. Help me, Lord, to effectively make use of my armor. In the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I receive all that is needed for me to be well equipped, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Brethren, let's pray that prayer in very spirit. Your adversity, your strength is small. That's why we need to make effective use of our armor. The devil is throwing fiery darts. He is throwing arrows here and there. That many Christians that started well today, the devil has brought them down because they are not, they don't use their weapon of warfare. Instead of the belt of truth, many are changing their belt of truth for belt of falsehood. Father, help me to effectively use my armor. In the name of Jesus, help me to be blessed of integrity. In the name of Jesus, be guided with the belt of truth, our best belt of righteousness, help me to put on the garment of righteousness, in the name of Jesus. Holy This end time, that I may know you, Lord. I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. Let me to be very much equipped and equally equipped, O Lord, to face the battle and to conquer in the name of Jesus. Help me to effectively use my armor of war, the believer's armor, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' precious name, we are praying.
Amen.
He also said that to know him is to know the person of Christ. The point we talk about is that Jesus is both the Lord and Savior. He's both the Lord and Savior. So we are going to go to the second prayer, we say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I acknowledge you as my Savior and Lord.
I acknowledge you as my Savior and Lord.
I surrender anything.
I surrender anything.
Confronting and competing with your Lordship over my life.
Conflicting and competing over your Lordship over my life.
Take total ownership of my life from today.
Take total ownership of my life from today.
When we surrender ourselves to God, God takes ownership. Because and that makes anything that wants to tamper with us have to face God's wrath. But you have to surrender is your lordship, your life to his lordship. Father, Lord, I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior.
Christ,
I surrender
anything
confronting and competing with your Lordship over my life.
Lord.
Take ownership of my life from today.
In the name of Jesus.
I surrender all to you.
In the name of Jesus.
Everything.
He cries our Lord again, Lord.
He cries our Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
he cries our Lord.
I give myself away.
In the name of Jesus
Christ. Apostle Paul was one of them. There was a affliction that was torn in his flesh. And only God knows what exactly this torn is. And he pleaded with God a couple of times to take it away. But what did God say to him? My grace is sufficient for you. And that is why the next prayer we are going to ask God for sufficient grace. We say, Father Lord, let your grace be sufficient for me.
Let your grace be sufficient for me.
My daily walk with you. Let us pray that prayer, Father Lord. Let your grace be sufficient for me. My daily walk with you. In the name of Jesus, fresh grace as I wake to every day. Lord, let your grace be sufficient for me. Let your grace to see me through every day of my life be here for me. As I wake up every morning, oh Lord, let your grace for that day be here for me. Grace for every day. Grace for daily work with you. In the name of Jesus. 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 Grace for every day. Grace for every day. To walk worthy of you. To walk uprightly before you. And to do all that is pleasing in your sight. In the name of Jesus. 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 Thou my everlasting God. And friend of life to me. All along my pilgrim journey.
In the name of Jesus,
let your grace, O Lord, fresh grace, O Lord, manifold grace, O Lord,
great grace, O Lord,
be sufficient for me. In the name of Jesus, let your grace be sufficient for me.
Let your grace be sufficient for me.
Let your grace be sufficient for me. In the name of Jesus, let your grace be sufficient for us. In the name of Jesus, let your grace be sufficient for us. In our daily walk with you.
In the name of Jesus,
in Jesus' precious name, we are praying.
Amen.
Like we have said, that in order to know Christ, to pursue the excellency of his knowledge, we must be ready to learn and learn. That is why in the next prayer point we are going to make a declaration that we are making a choice. Apostle Paul in verse 14 of Philippians chapter 3. Apostle Paul in verses 13 and in fact from verse 12 to 14. Let me quickly read. He said, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Anyone that wants to know Christ must be ready to press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Verse 13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize or the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Anyone that wants to go higher, anyone that wants to reach their potential fully in Christ, must be willing to forget things behind them. And what that means is that you must be ready to learn. You must be ready to learn. You must be ready to repair. Sometimes our knowledge of the word of God is not sufficient, and so we need to relearn. Sometimes we are not holding to the proper truth, then we need to unlearn. And that is what, that is the attribute, that those are the characteristics and attributes of someone who actually want to know Christ, who want to give themselves to the fact of pursuing knowledge of excellency, or the excellency of his knowledge. Some people, they think they have known everything, but the truth of life is that where one person's understanding and knowledge reaches, that is where someone else's own is beginning. And okay, that there's always room to know. And that is why it's not a surprise that Apostle Paul, with all of his achievement for the Lord, he's telling us through this scripture that I may know him. So let's pray the next prayer. We say, Father Lord,
Father Lord,
I choose to pursue the excellency of the knowledge of Christ.
I choose to pursue the excellency of the knowledge
by
of Christ.
By learning, unlearning, to make me attain,
to mark for
the price of my high calling in you.
The mark of my high calling in you.
Father Lord, I choose to pursue the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus by learning, to make me attain the mark for the price of my high calling.
That's my choice, Lord.
That I call high calling. Lord,
to be able to learn on the land.
Lord, pursue the excellency of your knowledge.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I choose to pursue the excellency of your knowledge by learning, in order to make me to attain the mark for the price of my high calling. Oh Lord, in order for me to reach my potential, in order for me to reach
all
ordained potentials for my life, in order to me to take maximum impact to my generation, Lord, and to leave an indelible mark for the generation coming behind, to the glory of your name. I refuse to be a mediocre. I refuse to settle for less. I refuse to hold on to stale knowledge. I refuse to hold on to obsolete knowledge. I refuse to be at the level of average. In the name of Jesus, I choose to go the extra mile for you in pursuing the excellency of your knowledge. In the name of Jesus, oh Lord, I make this choice. I make this salt and I make this declaration. In the name of Jesus, I want to pursue your knowledge, O God. The excellency of your knowledge. I want to learn, I want to learn, I want to relay. Father, I want to attain the mark of the for the price of my high calling you. In the name of Jesus, to put aside whatever I think I know, but to aspire to know more. To great first revelation. Like Apostle Paul said, I do not conform, consult flesh and blood, but I decided to go to Arabia, to be with the Lord. I receive the grace to wait upon you. I receive the grace to seek you. I receive the grace to wait on you for revelation. In the name of Jesus, the revelation that will make me successful in this trying time, that will make me to see through this trying time successfully, that will help me not to faint in the days of adversity. I refuse to settle for less, O God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Be thou exalted. In Jesus' name we are prayed.
Amen.
We talk about understanding the total package of our redemption. We talk about being ready to grow to maturity. We're going to pray. This is going to be the final prayer from my side for today. And the prayer is simple. We're going to pray that when we say, Father, Lord,
Father, Lord,
grant me a fresh encounter. To understand your total redemption package for me.
To understand your total redemption package for me.
For me. Let's pray that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the Father. God the Father sent God the Son.
Lord, let me understand total package.
God the Spirit to comfort us. This holistic understanding. Otherwise, if we only understand the part of salvation, and we don't understand the part of comfort, which the Holy Spirit is currently doing, then when we go through trials, when we find ourselves in times of adversity, we can become weak. Understanding the revelation knowledge of the total package of our redemption will help us to continue to move on, because we have clear understanding. And we can have the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Just like the apostle also comforted others with the same comfort that he had. Lord, I pray that you grant me a fresh encounter to understand your total redemption package for me. I pray that fresh encounter, O God, to understand your total redemption package for me. Lord, grant me, O Lord, a fresh encounter to understand your total redemption package for me. Father, Lord, please grant me a fresh encounter in the name of Jesus. I desire, I confess a fresh encounter from you, Lord, to understand and to walk in your total redemption package for my life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you, Lord. We worship you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we are praying.
Amen.
Over to you, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To conclude, I just want us, this is a full package. I don't know where to start, but I just want us to pray one of the prayer points from the Bible passage that was shared. Proverbs 21, verse 31. Proverbs 21, verse 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. Shall we ask God to prepare us for the second half of this year? As he's preparing us, the grace for us to take instruction as we learn, as we unlearn, and as we learn. Lord, prepare us as an individual, as a family for the second half of this year. Even as we begin to learn and relearn and unlearn. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are going to do our preparation, but Lord Father, prepare us yourself. Prepare us. Yes, we have a part to play, but Father, guide us. Guide us in this second half. The aim of this session, this prayer meeting, is to prepare us for the second half of the year. Father, we know the horse is prepared. We are prepared, but you said, prepare us, O Lord. Even more for the second half of this year, that will triumph. That will triumph, O Lord. That will triumph, O Lord. That God will answer our prayers. That the second half of this year will be our year of answers to prayers. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I will pray for New Song Parish and over, that all will go well with us in the second half of this year. Let's cry to the Almighty God. Let all go well with us. New Song Parish and over, Lord, let all go well with us. Even as we make him our Lord and Christ, let all go well with us. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be so, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, we want to say thank you for this evening. Thank you for the way you've used your Son to open our eyes, to expound that we may know him, Lord Father. Thank you that to know him is to know the person of Christ, that is Christ and our Lord. Thank you that to know him is to understand the total package of God for the redemption of we men, especially for us born-again Christians. Thank you also that to know him is to deliberately unlearn, learn, and to relearn. Thank you again for showing us that to know him is to be ready to grow into maturity. Even in this second half that we're entering to as we prepare, Father, all these teachings, Lord Father, let it propel us even to greater testimony and excellence in the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up all of our brethren all over the world, wherever they may be, that have joined us this evening, Father, bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Even as we go into day six tomorrow, Father, keep on feeding us, Lord Father. Our heart pants, Lord Father, for your word. Father, keep on feeding us in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless all the speakers, Lord Father, and take all the glory, Jehovah. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I want to just make a short